I guess for me, whenever I step on the mat, it really signifies a place where I can be mindful and I can be really present, because there's so much going on with running businesses and being a mom and just, you know, with everyday life.
On today's episode, we have the founder of the Pilates class, Jackie Kingswell. She was on my vision board when I created Selfdom, so I am so excited to have her as a guest. We talk about Pilates, how to start business, her experience postpartum, and so much more. I know you are all going to learn so much from this inspiring woman. I can't wait for you to listen to the episode. Welcome back to Selfdom, Beautiful Humans, a safe place to learn and get inspired to live your healthiest and most fulfilling life. Today is all about Pilates. Pilates was invented around 100 years ago and it is becoming increasingly popular. And today's guest, I believe, is a big reason for this. Today we have Jackie Kingswell. She is the founder of the Pilates class and such a big inspiration to me and so many other women, men, everyone out there. I need to mention that my boyfriend and I were sitting at dinner and I was kind of talking about, you know, my vision board and who I would love to have in Selfdom, and Jackie was on there and he's like, just ask her. And I was like, no, like, we do it at my house. Like, she won't want to do it. And he's like, just ask. The worst that happens is she says no. She replied so nicely, so eager, and she's here, and I'm so excited. So welcome, Jackie.
Wow, that was such a nice wrap. Thank you.
I honestly feel like you have been at the forefront for Pilates popularity, and for me, it's been a life-changing practice, so I'm very excited to pick your brain all about it.
Well, I'm excited to be here. And I also love that your partner said, just ask, because the worst thing that can happen is the person says no. And I always say that to my team and everybody around. I'm like, just ask the question.
Yeah. My mum always said, you don't ask, you don't get. And when I was younger, I was like, that's so pushy. Like, but when you get older and you're kind of chasing things that mean something to you, it is something that I stand by.
Yeah. Because what's the worst that can happen?
And if not now, when? We're going to go deep into all these quotes. So I always love starting the pod, just finding out a little bit about your journey. How did you get into Pilates and how did you get started with the Pilates class?
So basically I started Pilates quite young, when I was 12 years old. Because I was a dancer. I started when I was 3. And then my teacher at the time, we were doing a lot of ballet, a lot of jazz, and Pilates was really popular amongst the ballet community to help support with their training, prevent injury. And so he basically got a hold of that and then introduced it to the studio that I was at. And so we were training with Pilates from a really young age. And we basically saw a huge improvement with our performance because there's just so many benefits with it.
Wow. Mm. I did not know what Pilates was when I was 12 years old.
Yeah.
That's insane. So you must have been doing professional dancing.
Not at 12, but when I was 18, then I started professionally dancing. I remember the first time when we were doing Pilates, we were doing it for about a year before I started to really understand it. And I remember my teacher being there with me doing a bridge and articulating my spine as I went up. And he was right there going, okay, one spine, then the next. And then he would say, activate the core and the pelvic floor. And I had no idea what he was saying. It was like he was talking a different language. And then he said to me, that's it. See that change? Can you feel it? And I was like, no. It's like, well, you're doing it correctly. Yeah. And then eventually over time with practice, like anything, I started to understand it.
Yeah. So I feel like a big thing with the way you teach Pilates, it's all about form and it's all about making sure we're doing it safely. And I feel like those little examples as you're growing up, they would have played a big role in just how you view it.
Yeah, because Pilates was introduced to me to help prevent injury and to support my dance career, because with dance, your body is everything. So if you get injured, then you're not working. Same with modeling, mm-hmm. same with a lot of careers. So Pilates was really about nurturing, and that's what I practice with the Pilates class today. It's all about longevity, sustainable practices so that you can really look after and nurture your body, because we've just got one body, so we 100%. Have to really look after it and not be thrashing it. And Pilates is so good for that.
Well, I think it leads really nicely into the next question, which is, what changes physically and mentally have you seen from the practice?
Well, do you know what? Because I actually was practicing at such a young age, I can't really pick a point that it really changed everything for me, because I guess as I was active. Growing up, it was a practice that I was doing from such a young age. So I think I've always had a pretty, positive outlook within my body and the way that I treat it. And I have no doubt that that's because of Pilates.
Yeah, that's amazing. And how about mentally? Like, I'm sure now, obviously being a mom, it's maybe harder to find time to practice. Do you see a shift in how you step on the mat to how you step off?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, finding time to work out for anybody can be really hard, but I always say 10 minutes is better than none. So you don't have to have 60 minutes to work out. If you just do 5 or 10 minutes, it can make a world of difference. And so that's basically my standard now. I just think if I've got 10 minutes, get on the mat, and, you know, if I can move, then I feel completely different. And I guess for me, whenever I step on the mat, it really signifies a place where I can be mindful and I can be really present, because there's so much going on with running businesses and being a mom and just, you know, with everyday life, day-to-day things that we have going on. When I'm on the mat, I'm just completely present, and I love that because my mind can be very busy at times.
Yeah, I bet. And what also came to mind is how you said 5 minutes, 10 minutes is better than nothing. Mm. And I think that is such an important message, because so many people have chaotic lives. We all work, we're all busy. So instead of doing 5, 10 minutes, we just say, we don't have time today.
Yeah.
And I often feel if you do that 5 or 10 minutes, it puts you in a good space. You might find another 5 or 10 minutes another time. Like, your kettle may be boiling and you do 10 jump squats.
Yeah.
Whatever it may be. But if you have done that little bit of movement, it puts you in a good headspace to just keep going with it. So
yeah,
I think that's amazing advice, whether you're a mother or not. I think mm-hmm. it's super, super important.
Yeah, and it just gets you to also really connect to your body. And so you think about your posture, you really think about your breath, which helps bring down your nervous system. There's just so many benefits from just that 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah, I feel like for me, I obviously with my career and stuff, modeling's not every day. So mm-hmm. I am lucky in that sense where I do have time to go to classes. But then when COVID happened, I wasn't able to go to classes. And that's when I had to shift how I viewed movement and had to start using these online platforms. Mm-hmm. And I really felt the difference from getting that movement in the day when I wouldn't have done it, because I was like, I can't go to a class. Yeah. I won't have time. But genuinely, it changed my whole perspective. It's one of the silver linings from the pandemic for me is how I view movement. It can be done anywhere, really can be done anytime. And to be honest, there really isn't an excuse to get that little bit in your day.
Yeah, and you want to find movement that you enjoy as well. I think that's the main thing, is really looking forward to stepping on the mat and making it fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, I would never work out if it was thrashing my body and I was just doing it to see results. Of course, you get results with Pilates, but it really is more about the mindfulness and making me feel really happy and positive. And so I think for anybody out there that's looking to find a consistent routine, find something that you really love.
Yeah. I always feel like that when I go to a yoga class and I see girls wearing leopard print tights and they're doing like downward dogs and all these things. And I'm like, that looks fun.
Yeah.
Like, make movement fun. I think that is a great way to see it. I wanted to touch on, you spoke about how you don't have as much time, obviously now being a mom, to get on the mat, but you look absolutely unreal.
Thanks.
So what has been some of your postpartum tips and tricks?
So, I would say the first one was I took all expectations off to get my body back, especially because I am a Pilates instructor and I wasn't really sure when I was going to return back to work, but I knew it would be earlier than a lot of women. You know, I mean, if I didn't have my own company, I guess I would probably have taken a bit more time off, but there's pros and cons with both. So I did return quite early. And I have to say my body, just finding that connection after having birth, I felt quite eager to get back on the mat because I was craving that movement and just being able to move my body after having this big belly for so long. I wanted to be able to lay down. And so I really just again committed to 5 or 10 minutes whenever I could. I practiced my TPC core, which I did all through pregnancy and then postpartum, which I think was the main change and key factor that sort of helped me get my body back to being strong. And also I nourished my body with foods. So I actually got a postpartum food service delivery for 2 weeks after I'd given birth, and that was really helpful.
So then you didn't have to plan anything. It was just ready to go in the fridge.
Yep. That's was amazing. All cooked for me. It was Ayurvedic food, so it was really nourishing and very warming from the insides, just to make sure that I was getting those nutrient dense foods. I was really nourishing myself because I was breastfeeding, I was tired, so yeah, I think that was a big help.
I think getting help when you can is really important. Absolutely. I think that's a big thing. Me and Tom's main thing is outsource wherever you can.
Yeah.
So, you know, you are prioritizing being there for your child, your new mom, this is also new to you. Mm. The food stuff, like, you'll get back in the kitchen when you can, but if you could get someone to help you and make sure you're getting nourished, because that food is ultimately feeding your child.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So it's so important that it's high quality.
Yeah.
So I love that you did that. And I also love just hearing how you speak about movement. You're just in, sounds like such a healthy mindset. You want longevity, not to change how you look. Even as postpartum, I feel like so many women put a lot of pressure on themselves to get back to their pre-baby body, and you haven't used any language like that. I think it's a really great role model. And
I think there's a lot of pressure on women these days actually to get that post-baby body back, and I just really didn't want any of that pressure. And I think that really helped. And I think for any women out there who have had a baby or is planning to have babies, or women that just don't have babies, I think just taking that pressure off yourself and also just not comparing yourself to anybody is the key. Just stay in your own lane, stick to your own journey, and I think that's when you'll see the best results.
Yeah, absolutely. It was interesting. I went for a walk with a friend this morning. This has brought up this conversation I had with her, and a lady came up to her at the Double Bay Woolworths and said, "You look amazing. Like, what's your diet?" And she said, "Oh, I just eat in moderation, you know. I eat carbs, I eat fats, I eat proteins." And this woman said to her, "I haven't had a carb in 20 years.
Whoa.
And I was just like, first of all, my heart broke for that woman to have been missing out on not just the food, but the joy that socializing over a bowl of pasta and whatever it might be, and just being restrictive for so long. But it also made me think that so many of us compare our body to the body we had yesterday without taking into account that we're aging, it's normal, and our body is changing. So, you know, just hearing how you speak about it, it's nice when I'm hearing stories from other people.
I always think when I look back at photos of myself, I'm like, whoa, I looked so good back then. And so then I have the thought, well, I'll be thinking that thought about this moment in 5 years. Yeah. So you better just enjoy it. So it's easier said than done, of course, but there's practices that you can do to really change that mindset.
Yeah. And we'll definitely dive into mindset a little bit later in the pod. But while we're talking about training, I love that the Pilates class has a mixture of strength, Pilates, HIIT. So I wanted to chat to you about what would you recommend as a workout split in general. Obviously, it's different for everybody, but that is just a common question I do get asked. Like, what's a good workout split?
Yeah, so of course it depends what your goals are, and everybody's different depending if they are a runner, if they like strength work, more yoga or more Pilates. And the Pilates class has a class for everybody, but we do offer two schedules. One's chilled to satisfying and then the other one's satisfying to intense.
I love that. That's a great idea because some weeks I'm not in the mood.
Yeah.
And some weeks I want to go hard.
Yeah, so we've got three categories. It's I just want to chill. I want to feel satisfied or give me that intense burn.
Are those the names of the heading?
Yeah, chill, satisfying and intense.
Love it.
So you can choose what you feel on the day. And that's what I really encourage all of our members is tune into your body and see what you feel on each particular day. But I would pretty much say that from the satisfying to intense schedules that we offer, there's probably three intense Pilates classes and then there's 2 days where there's a walk or run, and those are optional. So you can also do a different workout on that day if you don't want to, but I do also encourage people to get outside and to get into the fresh air and nature and then match it with your Pilates classes. And then there is also a stretch on Sundays because I really have been encouraging members to stretch more because we can see on the back end what our most popular classes are and when people exit, and stretching is, yeah. There's a lot of people that are just exiting before the stretch, which I definitely yeah, I'm like, come on, TPC members, you've got to get that stretching in.
No, and I resonate with that a lot because sometimes I have a really busy day and like today, for example, I was at Pilates and I was like, do I stay for the stretch? Like the head noise comes in.
Yeah.
And I stayed and I breathed and I left feeling so much lighter and better. I feel like that 5 minutes where you're just decompressing and relaxing, that's where the goodness of the workout like sinks in.
Yeah, and it's meditative too. I think with stretching, I always feel it's such a mind game, like you said. It's something that you know, like people just don't want to do it and they want to rush off, but that's where the real practice is. It's about really changing that mindset, having that self-discipline to sit with the uncomfortable positions and just connect to your breath. And it's so good. Once you stay, you always look back and go, I'm so glad that I actually stayed for the stretch. But the other thing that you can do, you have such a nice couch over here. You could just lay on the couch at night and just put your leg up and have a little stretch.
That's the best. So good for your nervous system, relax you.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask a little bit about at-home equipment. What I love about the Pilates class is it can be really expensive to go to a gym. We all know that going to a reformer class can really break the bank. It's definitely a luxury. Mm-hmm. But if someone wants to kind of increase the intensity of their workouts, what at-home equipment could they use?
So basically with Pilates, you don't actually need any equipment at all because you learn to use your body weight as resistance. So it's almost like you're working through water, pressing in the opposite direction with your own body weight.
Yeah, they always go pretend you're moving through honey in the class.
Yeah, totally, exactly. So moving through honey is great, or if you do want to add some equipment, you could get some bands or some weights, light weights, because it's all about high repetition, low weights. And then you also could get a ball, which we have classes for as well. I think reformer is amazing, and if you can afford to do it, it is great. But as you said, it is quite expensive. And so doing an at-home workout, it's so beneficial. And people think that you work out on the mat to prep you for the reformer, but it's actually the opposite way. So the reformer preps you for the mat because it has all of the springs and the bed to sort of support you and set you up in the correct position. But once you learn the correct technique, this fan keeps tickling me, by the way. It keeps giving me a little cuddle.
Plant bestie.
Give me a little tickle. So, yeah, it basically, once you have the correct technique, it's a lot harder when you are on the mat not having that support from the machine.
Yeah, I feel that. I was a big reformer girl when I first started Pilates. And then when I started doing mat and I had the right technique, I was like, damn, this is way harder. Because I guess like the hardest spring option for abs is no springs. So I guess when you're on the mat, it's like there's no springs.
Yeah.
I also, during COVID, I learned to kind of do reformer moves at home with like slippery socks on the tiles and like putting my legs up on a chair and doing my pikes like that. So it's pretty interesting that you can get the same benefits without having to break the bank. So it's great that you have those options.
Yeah.
I think we need to talk about business because you are incredibly entrepreneurial and inspiring to me and so many others. So I wanted to touch on how did the Pilates class start? Where did the idea stem from?
So basically it started in COVID 2020 and at the time I was teaching in studios and then all the studios shut down. So I started teaching online and I was training my business partner, Natasha Oakley at the time. And she basically said, you have to come over to my house. Like, how am I going to survive without your Pilates class? And I was said, obviously I can't come. And she was joking obviously when she told me to come over, but she was like, I just don't think I'm going to get the same effect from you not being here in person. And I was like, just jump online, take one of my classes and see how you go. And she called me straight afterwards and she was like, oh my god, it feels like you were in the room with me, that was so good, why aren't you just doing this yourself, why are you teaching for all these other people when you could just be creating your own?
She is so savvy, that girl. Like, yeah. Wow, love
and she
that.
Really gave me that push and that belief that I think I needed at the time because I just had no idea what I was doing. I mean, I was crying, being like, I don't have a job, how am I going to survive, like so many of us were. And so then overnight I just created this website through Squarespace. Overnight we had about 15 people sign up and then it was 50 and I was like, oh, okay, this is really something. And then she came on board with me and she has so much business knowledge and she basically taught me, I always joke, 6 years of business within 6 months. And we just worked really hard on the Pilates class. COVID was such a blur to me because I was working 14 hours every day.
Everyone was like unemployed and you were just
we were hustling.
It. Yeah.
And that's how it was born. And so it's been really great. It's been 4 years now. It's been such an amazing journey. We have members in 118 countries.
Wow.
The community is global and it's really supportive and like nothing I could have ever imagined. And now Tash and I are about to launch our second business together.
What?
Yeah.
Can you let us know? Or is it secret?
No, I can let you in on it. It's it was basically born when I was pregnant, supposed to be taking time off. And I came up with this idea. It's basically called the birthing class. And it's an online.
I think I saw a poster in Paddington for this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. So that's coming soon. And it's an online platform which empowers and supports women through pregnancy and post-birth.
Wow. So it's not just workouts, it's a whole.
Yeah. So it's basically three doulas, one from Australia, the UK and the US. And you can do each doula's course. We have nutritionists, we have OBs, we have midwives, a bunch of different specialists on there to talk you through pregnancy and birth. And then there's also a 10-month Pilates program with myself. There's recipes. There is so much in this platform.
Wow.
And it's really all about supporting and empowering women to have a positive birth.
Isn't it special to be able to be putting a service out there that you have done, like you are literally the perfect example. You've had the child. Now you're, you know, getting your body back to its healthy, mobile self and you're able to share that with people. Like to offer something that does good in a society where there's so much, I don't know, like not great products for people just to make money. So it's really important that we acknowledge people like you, Jackie, that you're doing something really good.
Thank
for people.
You. Well, when I was pregnant, I found it so confusing and so overwhelming with so much information out there. I didn't know where to look or what I actually liked to, you know, to read and to really educate myself on. And so I just wanted to create a place that you can go to. It's feels safe, it feels supportive, it's knowledgeable, and it's everything that you need.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I wanted to kind of touch on something that came up when you were speaking about how you and Tash met. I think it's so important for the self-dom community to realize it is that butterfly effect. It is that moment where you just like reach out to someone and you connect with them. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important to never stop making connections in your life. So many women I speak to are not happy with their with the people around them, they feel influenced to maybe drink and party a little bit more than they want. And it's never too late to find your tribe. And when you find your tribe, you don't realize what may happen, what might unfold by having positive network around you.
Absolutely. I was in Sydney for, I think, 6 years, and then I put out to the universe probably a week before I met Tash, I really wanted to meet someone who was inspiring and that I had a deep connection with. And she had just moved to Sydney and she was actually looking for the same thing. And she walked into the studio and I had followed her for years, so I knew who she was. And she came into my class and like went straight to the mat and started stretching. And I was like, very good student. And in my class, she was just paying attention to every cue that I was giving her. And then after the class, she stayed and we just ended up talking and we connected. We were talking for about an hour and a half. And from then it was where the love, you know, really blossomed and our relationship was, born.
And it's nice as well, like someone who is so successful to give time to people they've just met. And it doesn't matter how successful, how big you get. Always give the time to people when they're giving you their time.
Yeah,
so I think it's like I always judge someone, like a lot of us do, how they treat the waiter. And it's like such a good thing because you want to be around people that treat everyone equally with kindness and with love and respect.
Absolutely. I was a waitress back in the day. I've done so many different jobs.
She was getting good tips.
Absolutely.
I also think it's super important to realize that, you know, the Pilates class is now one of the biggest online platforms, but you also just started from an idea.
Yeah.
And then you just chipped away at it, chipped away at it. And it's so inspiring, especially I feel like with me and this little podcast and just hearing your story and, you know, 4 big years, I'm sure, but a lot has happened in 4 years. Wow. Yeah. I just thought that Pilates class was around for even longer just because of, you know, how widespread you guys are.
Well, I think it's important as well. I remember when I purchased my first car after starting the Pilates class and I went there and the sales assistant was looking up my ABN on the computer and he was like, so what is it that you actually do? And I said, I own the Pilates class. And he was like, okay, there's 10 different businesses here under your name.
What?
And he started reading them out for me. And they were basically businesses and ideas that I had for years that I just had tried to start that didn't work, that, you know, I went in and out of. So I think just because you aren't successful on your first business idea, never stop. Just keep going.
Yeah, I love that so much. I wanted to touch on your own personal brand because the way you're speaking about it, you did the Pilates class and then that grew, but you as Jackie Kingswell is a brand. So how do you go about, you know, maybe being in the limelight and how do you go about nurturing your own following?
I think I just try and be authentic to my followers. It's a tricky one, social media, because I want to share a lot with them, but at the same time I am advocating for a balanced life and to be mindful and to have those moments where you're switching off. And so I actually practice that as well. So a lot of the time, you know, I think, oh, should I be filming myself meditating or switching off and having the downtime? But then I'm actually just wanting to live that.
I feel this a lot. I'm like resonating with this hard.
Yeah. So there's, you know, I could film myself through every single day, but then I'm like, well, then I'm not being present. So I try and share bits and pieces with my audience and I love my followers. They're mainly female. Whenever I see a guy sort of follow me, I'm like, who are you? Yeah. But yeah, so I just try and be authentic and, you know, stay in my own lane. Sometimes I think, why do people even follow me?
You're like, you're going to see baby puke. And I resonate with what you're saying so much because, again, the way you build a personal brand, especially in this day and age, is you show more.
Yes.
Like zero boundaries. And I was talking to Tom about it the other night on the couch and I said the happiest I was last week. I only put up something once on Instagram and I was really happy. And then I said this week I've got deadlines, I've got this and I feel really stressed.
Yeah.
So it is quite interesting how it does play on your mind like that. For my own boundaries is I set aside days. So I'm like, okay, today I'm going to film a day in the life and I film everything, but then that's once a week. So every other time we meditate, it's not. Mm-hmm. Or what me and Tom do is we do our medi and then he'll just video it after. So,
yeah,
you know, so it's not in real time, but because that's a really important thing that we do every morning. We meditate on the couch mm-hmm. with Grumble. And, yeah, I don't want to take away from that. He's also really good. Sometimes he'll just, like, video me in, like, moments and then I can that footage because he sees how much it stresses me out. It's one of those things where practice what you preach, and where I preach not going on your phone from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m., but then sometimes you have, like, a post you need to do or a deadline. So, you know, it is finding that balance and also realizing that your followers do want to see the real stuff because that's where – they can see that your life isn't perfect. Mm. I saw like on your Instagram you showed baby puke and you'd been at an event and you looked all glamorous, but it's showing both is what not only keeps your following loyal, but it also just shows them that life isn't black and white. It's not just perfect like what everyone else is putting out there.
Absolutely. Most people just share the good parts on social media, but it's there's so many messy parts in life. How do you manage your stress when you're going through that?
Well, I feel like the last few years have been very stressful. My mum has stage 4 cancer. It's been ongoing for a long time where we're like, she's in remission and then she's not. So and it's just been like ongoing. So, I mean, you've come to the house. We've got a whole recovery zone now with the sauna and the ice bath, meditate every day, gratitude journal. Tom laughs at me every night because I'm just like so strict with all my little habits and routines, but I have to be because it keeps me sane because my life can be quite high stress, especially, you know, you get comments from people that could trigger you and, you know, it's one person's opinion, but it plays on your mind and you put your head on the pillow and it's all you think about. So switching off my phone from 8 p.m. is huge. Reading every night's a self-development book, I find puts me in a really good space.
Yeah.
Meditating daily. I do Ayurvedic meditation. And just I've cut out alcohol, drugs, everything like that. It's that to me is just downward spiral. No caffeine. I have matcha, but no coffee. These are the things that have changed my life.
You sound like me. But it's true. You do really have to be strict and it sounds like you're on such a good path. And I think you obviously have a lot of stress and, you know, I'm so sorry to hear about your mom. That's so hard. And you're also an entrepreneur, you're modeling, you're doing different jobs. So you're putting yourself in different situations every day, which is really hard because you're not in a routine with your work. So I think having that discipline is so important. And I think sometimes when you are in that routine, you can feel a little bit boring and you look at other people and you think, oh, I'm so young. Should I be out at dinner drinking and partying? But actually you just have to do what's right for you and what serves you. And you sound like when you have a good night's sleep and you wake up, that's when you're the happiest.
Yes. Well, I had this whole epiphany moment because this year, at the end of last year, I kind of stopped drinking. I've had like 2 glasses of wine this year. So it's not that I'm restrictive.
Yeah.
I've just chosen how I spend my time, my money and my energy. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh my God, I'm not social anymore. Maybe I'm more introverted than I thought, but it's the way that I socialize. So if the people around me don't accept my decisions and won't see me in another way, for example, going for a walk, getting lunch, you know, going for a drive and going for a hike somewhere different. That's how I love socializing now. It doesn't really serve me to go have a big night because I remember so many times I was out and I didn't want to be there, but I didn't want to be alone at home. Mm. So it was escapism.
Yeah.
And I think it's super, super common. I've now gotten to a point which I'm so happy and where I'm so happy and grateful to have a beautiful network around me, smaller than it used to be. I've probably like halved the people in my network and my friends, but I'm the happiest I've ever been. And that's kind of how I'm seeing it right now. And I guess also like your late 20s, it's a lot changing. And just accepting that change.
My dad always said, if you can name your friends on one hand, you're lucky.
Huge. Well, they've done a study where most people don't even have, they have a big group of friends, but they don't have one person they could come to when shit hits the fan. Mm-hmm. I would rather have one incredible friend who's there for me than to have 10 people who I just don't feel like I could even call.
Yeah,
like totally. It's quality over quantity when it comes to your friends. Yeah. And we're lucky we pick our friends. So pick wisely, pick a good ones. I wanted to kind of not end, but last few questions talk about mindfulness because it wouldn't be a self-done pod unless we did. What are some ways you incorporate this into your busy schedule?
So I have been meditating quite a lot lately because I'm so busy with the company, being a mum and launching a new brand. And I think when I am really busy, it's when I need to meditate the most.
I love that because people think the opposite.
Yeah, I'm too busy to meditate. I don't have time, but actually that's when you benefit the most from it. So I've been meditating every single morning. I work out, which is also quite meditative for me. I have a strict morning and nighttime routine, just like you.
It's
very
great.
Very strict on it. And I think that really keeps me sane because at the moment I'm not sleeping very well because of my darling daughter. She's waking up quite a lot. So when the sleep goes out the window and I'm busy, I really need to put in those practices to bring down my nervous system and to just have that moment to myself, even if it's just 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So yeah, meditation is key for me and mindful movement.
I love that. And I want to kind of touch on these rigid night routines and morning routines. Because some people haven't even got a routine at all.
Yeah.
But I can guarantee you, and it sounds like you're the same, when you have a good routine, you have more freedom.
Yeah,
you totally. Have more time to give to your baby, to your family, to your friends, because you've just set those strict times.
Totally.
You're not there scrolling aimlessly. You're like, okay, I've got 30 minutes. This is what needs to get done.
Fresh is my husband. We have these orange
lights. The blue light blockers. We wear them as well. They're not hot. I look like I'm on a, I look like a tradie. Like I'm on the work site. Because I wear earplugs as well.
Me too.
We need to post a photo of us in bed.
Like
same. I've got the one that wraps around your ears. And I wear mouth tape now.
Really? Oh, to breathe through your nose.
It's so bad.
You sleep, do you do that?
Yeah. So wow. I've got one that goes around your lips.
Okay.
It's really ugly.
Really?
And I'll send you a photo. Maybe I'll put it on the self-dom account so people can see.
I'm so interested in this.
Yeah. I mean,
do you sleep better now that you're breathing through your nose?
So I was always waking up in the middle of the night and going to the toilet.
Mm.
But now I don't because I'm in a deep rest. It does
I'm craving a deep sleep.
Oh, I know. But it's all worth it in the end, isn't it?
I still sleep with earplugs and an eye mask even though I've got a baby.
And you know you're going to hear her though.
Yeah, you do.
Apparently it's like so instinctual as a woman.
Because when you work out, have you tried to wear the mask
when I work out?
Yeah, to breathe through your nose.
I can't rock up to a class with it. I cannot rock up with my mouth.
You can do the Bondi walk just with the tape.
Oh my goodness, that's great. We'll definitely put a photo of it. A photo up of how we look.
Well,
when
you
we
could
go
do
bed.
A Pilates class at your home so no one can
True.
See you, and you could try a high intensity. That's apparently quite good for you to train yourself just to breathe through your nose.
Well, the nose breathing activates the parasympathetic nervous system and it filters the air. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully after using the mouth tape for 90 days, that's how you create a habit. So it comes with 90, then it just becomes a habit and you don't need to wear the tape anymore. I've done like 2 weeks.
That's good.
I mean, it comes off though, but I'm pretty strict. Once
it comes off when you're sleeping.
In the night, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think because I go to bed really glazed, Hailey Bieber style, with so much moisturizer on, that I stick it on and it's like moving
around.
Have
you shared your skincare routine?
Oh, I've got to show the whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm in the bathroom for like an hour.
Because you've got the glowiest skin.
Oh, thank you. Well, I always end the pod with the same question.
Yes.
Is what advice would you give your younger self?
I would pretty much just try not to compare myself to others. I live by this quote, comparison is the thief of joy.
My mom instilled that in me
really,
as a child.
Yes. It's such a good one because it's true. Once you start to compare yourself to other people, I find you just go down into this spiral and it doesn't take you to a good place. So trying to stay in your own lane, really just focusing on what you have is key. And I think I practice that now and I don't always live by it, but I think if my younger self had of really practiced that,
yeah,
who knows what
would have happened.
I mean, you're killing it, so you did pretty good. I think I resonate with this so much, and it was that realizing there's enough success in the world for everyone.
Yeah,
and also absolutely. When you put your energy into comparing yourself, it's only manifesting negativity towards you and greatness, which is great. You want greatness for everyone. So it's so important to not compare. Yeah. So much easier said than done.
It is.
But the meditating creates awareness, don't you find?
Yeah.
So when you catch yourself doing it, you're like, okay, actually that's not a good use of my energy.
And I think social media is really challenging because you can compare yourself once you're scrolling, but if you just literally say it in your mind like a mantra, comparison is a thief of joy, the second that your brain starts to go down it, you just come back on track and you look at something and you think, wow, that's so great for them. I'm inspired by it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you just stay in your own lane.
That
post-it notes help too. I have them all over my place.
I had it in my old house and Tom couldn't believe that I still had them up.
I've got them on my fridge, in my bathroom mirror when I brush my teeth.
So it's cute. And I think it's inspiring because so many people would look at you and be like, she's got it all together, and you've got it all together, but it's a lifelong journey and practice. You keep going with it. You don't just stop.
Absolutely. I'm up and down all the time. There's some days I'm here, then other days it's really challenging, but I have those tools when it is challenging that really help me.
Yeah. Well, Jackie, thank you so much for jumping on the mic today.
Thank you for having me. This is so fun. I've got my friend Fernie here.
You are inspiring in how you live your life and business, a mother, everything. And
thank you.
Yeah, I'm just so grateful. You were a dream guest on my vision board and now you're here.
Thank you.
So thank you so, so much. I am going to, as always, give you all a little reminder to pause the episode, press that follow button, press that subscribe button. It really, really helped me grow and I want to make this pod as good as I can. So with that, I will see you all on the next episode.